I want to invite your attention for a few moments this evening to 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 6. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 6, very familiar scripture text that we're going to be reading tonight. As a matter of fact, I love this. It's kind of Paul's closing statement to his life. 2 Timothy chapter 4 verse 6, would you stand with me as we read from the Word of God? Paul said, "For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all who loved His appearing." Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank You, Lord, for the day. We thank You, Lord, for the privilege of looking into Your Word. Now, Lord, I pray that You open our eyes and our ears to what You have to say. Speak to us through Your Word. Encourage us, fill us with Your strength, and empower us, Lord, to carry out the mission that You've given to each of us as we labor in Your vineyard. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. We start tonight, I want to call your attention to the future of the ministry. I look at Victory and I think, Victory has a future. Okay, I do. I think Victory has a great future. And that's where Paul started in this text that we read, is the future of the ministry, but the future... Excuse me. The future did not include him. And because he knew the future did not include him, as a matter of fact, he knew he would come to this point where he described himself as a drink offering being poured out. And Paul had, because he knew he was going to come to this day, he had instructed young Timothy because he knew Timothy was going to be his replacement. He had admonished Timothy, and prior to this, he told Timothy, "Timothy, you preach the word, you be watchful, you endure afflictions, fulfill your ministry." And you see a passion here with what Paul has done with Timothy. And it brings the question of why was Timothy's faithfulness so important? And it was because Paul was being poured out as a drink offering. And I can go to the Old Testament. I kind of envision that drink offering being poured out on the altar. And if you've ever thought about it, that's not a long drawn out thing. When a drink offering's being poured out, it's kind of like pouring out a glass of water, you know? It doesn't last long. That's how close Paul is to finishing his ministry. He knew that soon he would die. But he also knew that he had Timothy to carry on the work. And so Paul is basically in this text that we just read, he's surrendering his life to the executioner's sword, and being poured out as this drink offering before the Lord. And the idea is, Timothy, buddy, I've given it to you. You're prepared. You're ready to go. Now take up the banner and lead the gospel ministry. And you know, again, I look at Victory. And, you know, I look at my place at Victory as well as the place of all of us at Victory. And boy, I pray that we have a lot more ministry time at Victory, don't you? But I also want you to understand what we're doing at Victory at this point. Everything that we do, it's not just about what we're doing here in the here and now. But it's about the future of Victory. Okay? As we train kids, and I've heard, you know, and I've probably even said, you know, it's all about the kids. And Wednesday night, Awana, it's all about the kids. No, it's not all about the kids. It's all about the ministry work that we're preparing those kids for. It's not just about entertaining kids. It's not just about me doing my job and you doing your job. It's about preparing for the future of Victory Baptist Church. And I love the age that we have in this church, or the age groups. You know, we've got everywhere from the nursery up to the senior saints, and I love every one of them. But I'm reminded, that's the future of the church. I look at the younger crowd tonight, and I want you to realize, you don't just have Sunday school classes. You don't just have Awana classes. This is preparing you for ministry. And you know, people say, well, I believe, Brother Doug, I believe the Lord's going to come back in my lifetime. And that's good if you believe the Lord's going to come back in your lifetime. I hope He comes back in my lifetime. And all this draws to an end. But you know what? The Apostle Paul thought the coming of the Lord was at hand during his life. But he didn't think that from a standpoint that it kept him from planning for the future. And that's what I want you to grab hold of tonight. I want you to, first of all, take a look at the future of the ministry at Victory and realize how important what you're doing is. We're either preparing people for the future of the ministry, or you are the future ministry of Victory Baptist Church. And that's why Paul had spent so much time training Timothy. And so after he tells Timothy, "Timothy, man, my ministry's coming to an end. You're up, bud. You're next." And then he says in verse 7, "Timothy, I've fought the good fight. I've finished the race. I have kept the faith." And it's a reminder to Timothy. "Timothy, I've shown you how it's done." Amen. Okay? "I have shown you what ministry looks like. I fought a good fight." That word fight, it speaks of an athletic contest and the sacrifice and the hardships associated with that contest. And you know, and Paul, he apparently enjoyed athletic competition because he made a lot of reference to those. And isn't it amazing the dedication that some people will give toward athletic competition? I look at professional football players. Have you ever seen these people that are all muscle? I mean, their arms, their legs. And that doesn't just happen. It takes hours in the weight room and hours of exercise and running and preparing, all so they can play this little 1 hour long football game. But they dedicate themselves to that purpose. Paul was the same way here. He had a dedication and amazing endurance that never quit. And you know why? It was all so he could preach the gospel. You know? I mean, all that he endured would lead up to those moments of declaring Jesus Christ to people. And it seemed like no matter how difficult it was and no matter what he was experiencing in pain, he kept pushing through it. He endured threats against his life. He was stoned. He was shunned by other believers. He was beaten. He was imprisoned. Yet he kept pushing just so that he could declare the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's how he wound up in Rome. He knew he was going to die in Rome, but he didn't look at the fact that he was going to be killed for his faith. He looked at the fact that he had a desire to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ in Rome. See, that's the idea when he said, "I have fought a good fight. I've done what it takes so that I could fulfill the call that God has placed on my life." Listen, you know, and I'm reminded of the preparation that you and I have to do. I'm reminded that during the week I spend a lot of time studying and preparing for that 30-minute sermon on Sunday or Sunday night, that 30-minute Bible lesson on Wednesday night. I'll be honest with you, I just almost live for those 3 moments. That's what I look forward to. That's what God has called me to do. Paul said, "I fought a good fight. I finished the race." That word "finished," of course, means to complete one's mission. Paul said, "I've done exactly what God has called me to do." And that's all anyone can say. Okay? I finished my race. God's call, God has a call upon the lives of everyone present here. Okay? Now, we're all different. We have different callings. I preach. Others work with kids. Others do music. Others teach Sunday school classes. Others serve as deacons. Some serve on the mission committee. Some serve on the finance committee. And there are several other areas of service. But God has a call on every life that's present here. And your calling is important. I can't do what you do, and you can't do what I do. But we all must be faithful in our respective call. And that's what Paul is saying. I've finished the race. I've done what God put me on this earth to do. Can you say that? Yeah? Can you? And maybe not from the perspective of, okay, my life is at an end. But can you say, I'm doing what God put me on this earth to do? So many people, you know, they spend their whole life searching. I know that God has something special for me, and I just don't know what it is. Well, look around you. See where God has placed you. Are you a father? Then you be the best godly father that you could possibly be. Are you a teacher? You be the best teacher that you can possibly be. You do what God has called you to do, and you be faithful in doing that in your entire life. Finish the race. Why do I say that? Because it's too easy. It's too easy for people to quit. You know, it gets hard. Well, that's okay. It's hard. Keep on fulfilling your call. And Brother Doug, you don't understand. Sometimes I get so tired. Have you ever felt that? I'm just so tired. You don't know how to, you want me to tell you how to finish the race? Take the next step. That's it. Take the next step. Don't worry about five steps from now. You worry about the next step. That's how a race is completed. One step at a time. Take the next step. Finish the race that God has called you to run. That's what Paul said. I've finished the rest. I've done what God has called me to do. And then he said, I have kept the faith. Paul had remained loyal to the trust that God had given to him. Do you realize the ministry that God had given Paul, he had entrusted him with? It's like me entrusting you with a treasure of my life. That's how Paul looked at his ministry. And when he says, I have kept the faith, you know what he's really speaking of? He's speaking of sound doctrine. I have not compromised the truth, is what he's saying. I have not laid down to accommodate men. I've not given in under the pressures of the culture. I can imagine that there had to be those in the life of Paul who said, now Paul, if you'll just tone it down a little bit, you won't have so many enemies. Now Paul, if you'll just allow the Jews to mix the law in with grace, they'll come on board with us. Now Paul, if you'll just be more inclusive of others' beliefs and not be so hard on these idolaters, your life will get much easier. But Paul never did. He was faithful. He kept the faith, meaning he guarded the gospel and the message of Jesus Christ that he had been given. And he would not compromise that message no matter what. He never backed up, even when he had a personal thorn in the flesh. Because God had entrusted him. You see, that's the disappointment in churches today. We're living in an age of people who give in. They don't give up, they give in to the teachings or to the doctrines of the culture. We're all just trying to get to heaven. Let's include everyone, you know, and it doesn't matter what you believe, we're all serving the same God. No, we're not. There is one God the Father, and He has one Son, that is Jesus Christ. There is a right way that leads to life, and there is a wrong way that leads to destruction.
What is our responsibility? Our responsibility is to keep the faith. Okay? Hold it as precious. Never back up. It amazes me at the changes in our culture in the last 5 years. The things that I thought, you would never see in churches are now commonplace in churches, you know? And why is that? It's because people are not keeping the faith. People are not saying, well, let's see what the Word of God says. Well, the Word of God says this, and if you're not in agreement with that, then you're not of us. Young and old, we've got to remember there's a time to stand up and guard what we have been entrusted with. I'm not saying let's offend. I'm not saying let's attack. I'm saying let's hold the promises and the truths of the Word of God as they really are. That's what Paul's saying when he said, I have kept the faith. He says, I've not compromised, no matter what. No matter who expected it, I've not given in. And then finally, verse 7. Verse 8. I love this part too. Finally, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all who have loved His appearing. Finally, henceforth in the future. Yet Paul's at that point where he's not saying, I'm going to plant any more churches. I'm not going on another mission trip. He said, my future is there is a crown of righteousness laid up for me. And he paints this picture of the one thing left for him as he stands before the judgment seat of Christ and receives this victor's crown. You realize we're all going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ one of these days, right? Every child of God, when you stand there, I mean, you realize when we stand before that judgment seat of God, we want to hear the words, well done, thou good and faithful servant. I just imagine, you know, you ever watch the Olympics? Beth's crazy about the Olympics. So when they come on, we watch them. It doesn't matter, summer, winter, skiing, ice skating, you know. And I never was much on ice dance, but she likes it, so we watch it, right? But I do like seeing that winner's podium. And when those contestants who have won their given event step up there and receive their gold medal. They play that national anthem. And you know, and that's kind of what Paul is referring to, such a ceremony. Of when God's children who have been faithful, who have fought a good fight and refused to give in and kept the faith and been faithful in what God has entrusted them. When we step before that judgment seat of Christ and hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And then there's this crown. Paul called it the crown of righteousness. There are a lot of different ideas of what this means. And I'll share with you what I think it means. And this is kind of a quick theology moment. But what I think it's talking about here, I believe there is a victor's crown. But I think it is that moment when Jesus in reality places His righteousness upon us. You know, when we're saved, our sin is taken, right? And it's replaced with the righteousness of Christ, which makes us worthy. Okay? I don't believe Paul is saying here, I don't believe he's saying, boy, you know, Timothy, I want you to know I've done everything right. And when I get to heaven, I deserve a crown because I've done all this great work for the Lord. I don't believe that's what he's saying. I believe what he's saying is, Timothy, when I stand before the judgment seat of Christ, and this is what's left for me, I'm going to receive in reality. See, what we've done right now, we've accepted by faith. But there's coming a day when our faith will be sight. And Paul's looking forward to that day when Jesus literally lays his righteousness upon him. I think that's the victor's crown that he's talking about here. What a day that'll be. Amen. When my Jesus I shall see. Oh, listen, folks, yes, we want to say, you know, we want to be able to say, I've fought a good fight, I've kept the faith and all that, but we also want to realize we are who we are because we're bought by the blood of Christ. We have to look forward to a home in heaven because it's being prepared by the Son of God, Jesus Christ. And when we get there, we'll not get there by our own works. But we will arrive through the works of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and His righteousness. What a day that will be when our Jesus we shall see. I think that's what Paul's saying here. The challenge of this message, my friend, keep on keeping on. One of these days, we'll all come to that point where we can say, I've fought a good fight. I've finished my race. I've kept the faith. Isn't that the way you want to end it? I was talking to Beth the other day. You know, sometimes there are just things in life that kind of remind you that you're getting older. I'm not experiencing those things at this point. But you know, one thing I told Beth, I said, I want to finish strong. You know, I don't have plans of a grandeur of retirement. But you know, I want to finish strong in serving the Lord and being faithful to the Lord. I want to come to that point where I can say, I've fought a good fight. I've finished my race. I've kept the faith. That's my challenge to you. Finish the race. It gets hard. I understand it gets hard sometimes. You get tired. I understand you get tired sometimes. And sometimes you can't see what's next. All you can do is take the next step. But keep on keeping on. Beloved, I love you. Victory has a great future. Assume your role that God has called you. You may be young and you may be learning under the instruction of the older. You may be older and you may be instructing the younger. But fulfill the ministry in which you've been called. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the privilege of being a part of your ministry. And Lord, we're just encouraged by Paul's words. As he said, Lord, I've fought a good fight. I finished my race. I've kept the faith. Lord, we all want to finish well. So give us wisdom. Give us strength. Give us the things that we need so that we may be faithful in our ministry and in the mission that you've given us. Lord, we love you and we pray now in this invitation for those who are in this service who do not know you as their personal Savior. Help them now to see that there's more to life than this life. But there's an eternity bought and paid for by the blood of Jesus upon the cross of Calvary, and that they can have that eternity by simply repenting from their sins and turning to you for salvation. Lord, we love you and we thank you and we pray your will be done in this invitation. In Jesus' name I pray.